stood in the cold and declared U.S. Thanksgiving Day a national day of mourning. But what is it about that speech that got the officials so upset? Well, here's the truth. The reason they talk about the Pilgrims and not an earlier English-speaking colony, Jamestown, is that in Jamestown the circumstances were far too ugly to hold up as an effective national myth. For example, the settlers in Jamestown turned to cannibalism in order to survive. And that's not a very nice story to tell the kids in school. The Pilgrims did not find an empty land here any more than Columbus discovered anything. And every inch of this land is Indian land. And the Pilgrims did not come here seeking religious freedom. They already had that in Holland. They came here as part of a commercial venture. And they introduced sexism, racism, anti-lesbian and gay bigotry, jails, and the class system to these shores. And they were no better than any other group of Europeans when it came to their treatment of the indigenous peoples here. And no, they did not land on that sacred shrine down the hill called Plymouth Rock, a monument to racism and oppression, which we are proud to say we buried twice in 1970 and once again in 1995. Upon arriving, one of the first things the Pilgrims did was to open my ancestors' graves and take our corn and bean supplies. And later, from the very harbor that we can see from here, the English sold my ancestors as slaves for 220 shillings each. And the first day of Thanksgiving was proclaimed in 1637 by Governor Winthrop of Massachusetts, of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, who proclaimed a day of Thanksgiving for the safe return of the men from Massachusetts who had gone to Mystic, Connecticut to participate in the massacre of over 700 Pequot women, children, and men. About the only true thing about the entire mythology is that these pitiful European strangers would not have survived their first several years in New England were it not for the aid of the Wampanoag people. What native people got in return for this help was genocide, theft of our lands, and never-ending repression. Now, some would ask what we have gained by observing a national day of mourning since 1970. The very fact that you are here is perhaps our greatest gain. We have brought people together from the four directions who have seen through the Pilgrim myth and want to join the struggle to destroy that mythology. But a few words of caution. The powers that be do not like to see us all come together in strength and unity. It scares them. And we are like a hand. If the fingers remain apart, they can easily be broken. But if they join together to form a fist, they cannot be broken. We have truly made a fist that cannot be broken. Those of us who were here in 1997 will not forget what happened to our peaceful march. It will be forever in our minds. After almost a year of struggle, we were able to reach an agreement with the town of Plymouth. Part of that agreement called for the town to erect two plaques, one here on Coles Hill to honor the day of mourning, and another in Town Square to honor Metacom, or King Philip. I am proud to announce that the plaques will be dedicated today as a part of the 30th National Day of Mourning. Today you will only see temporary plaques. The permanent bronze markers are being cast as we speak. The town of Plymouth took it upon themselves so that something could be here for us to read and dedicate. They went out and had two temporary markers placed. And I would like to thank the town of Plymouth for doing that. It shows that they are living up to their agreement that they signed with us in 1998. And I am happy to say, finally, when it comes to these plaques, at least we know there will be two rocks in Plymouth that speak the truth. And a few people have asked if the placement of these plaques will end the need for us to continue to come to Plymouth and speak the truth. The answer is no. As we have stated many times before, we will continue to come to Plymouth and protest until we can act as sovereign nations in our own land without interference from the Bureau of Indian Affairs. As we speak today, many nations in the Northeast, such as the Mashpee Wampanoag and the Nipmuc, are not even recognized as such by the federal government. And who is this government of pilgrims to decide who is Indian or not? And we will continue to protest as long as sports teams and schools continue to use racist names and mascots. We will continue to gather on this hill until the U.S. military and corporations stop polluting our mother, the earth. And we will continue to stand here and protest until racism is made illegal. And we will not stop until the oppression of our two-spirited sisters and brothers is a thing of the past. When homeless people have homes, when immigrants from Central and South America are no longer hunted down, and when no person goes hungry or is left to die because they have no access to quality health care. We will never stop coming to this place until police brutality no longer exists in communities of color. We will stop protesting when our brothers Leonard Peltier and Mumia Abu-Jamal and all political prisoners are free. Until then, the struggle will continue. Today we will correct some history and do so in a country that continues to glorify butchers such as Christopher Columbus, in a country that glorifies slave-owning presidents such as Washington and Jefferson, and even carves their faces into the sacred black hills of the Lakota. But we have a lot more to talk about than the pilgrims or what happened in the 1600s. We will also be speaking today, as we have every year since 1970, about conditions in Indian country today. We are here to unite people and to speak the truth. Our program will be only native speakers. This is the one day when we speak for ourselves without non-native so-called experts intervening to interpret and speak for us. We are more than capable of speaking for ourselves. Today, for a few hours, we are gathered in liberated territory. Our presence frees this land from the lies of the history books, the profiteers, and the myth makers. We will remember and honor all of our ancestors in struggle who went before us. We will speak truth to power. We will remember in particular all of our sisters and brothers, including Leonard Peltier and Mumia Abu-Jamal, who are caged in the iron houses. In 1970, very few people would have given any thought to the fact that the indigenous people of this hemisphere do not look upon the arrival of the European invaders as a reason to give thanks. Today, many thousands stand with us in spirit as we commemorate our 30th National Day of Mourning. In the spirit of Metacom, we are not vanishing. We are not conquered. We are as strong as ever. Ho!
Good afternoon, sisters and brothers. We're sorry to be standing on the stage being dry when you're not. We apologize for that. We are wet, promise. We felt that it would probably be a good idea if our speakers did not get electrocuted today from the rain, so that's why we're doing this. But I think we'll have enough good words that everybody will keep warm. I want to let you know what the program is today. We'll have speakers here. We will then have a march where we will go and dedicate the plaque that is for Metacom or King Philip, and we will go after that to Memorial Hall for a social where we promise we'll have lots of coffee and hot chocolate and food and anything else that you could want. And very important, at the social hall, even if you can only stay for a little bit, we ask that you do come in and be part of the program there. We'll have a very special program or presentation by Danza Azteca Cuauhtemoc there at the social hall, and their leader, Pastel, has come in from Los Angeles to be with us today, as well as other members of their group, and they have some very important things to share with us. So please do come to the social with us, and the march will be a very fine thing because it'll get us all warmed up. Okay? We also, in addition to the compañeros from Los Angeles, we want to welcome, there's a group of people who came all night from Baltimore. Right. We want to welcome Baltimore, and we also want to welcome the people who came from New York. We have a busload of people who came from New York, and we want to welcome, of course, all our Indian sisters and brothers who are here, and all our allies who've come here from the four directions to stand with us. As I'm looking out, I see Latinos for Social Change. I see the Puerto Rican flag, the descendants of the Taino Indians standing here with us today, and so many other people. It's so beautiful every year to stand here and look out and see the many different skin colors and hair colors and eye colors and the beauty of our race and how we can come together and how we can overcome racism and all of the things that they want to divide us. I'm going to talk a minute about Leonard Peltier. We've dedicated National Day of Mourning to him this year. Now, it's not as though we have not spoken about him the other years. We've been speaking about him every year. For those of you who don't know, Leonard Peltier is an American Indian Movement warrior who was framed up by the federal government on charges that he shot two FBI agents at the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota in 1975. There's uncontested proof that the FBI covered up and fabricated evidence in order to convict him, yet Leonard has consistently been denied a new trial, and the Supreme Court has refused to even consider his case. Millions of people around the world know of Leonard Peltier's case and support his cause. Now, some of these people are famous people like Jesse Jackson, but most of them are ordinary people like you and me. Leonard Peltier, an innocent man, is the foremost Native American political prisoner in a country which does not admit that it even has political prisoners. Despite more than 20 years of struggle, Leonard remains behind the bars of Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary. Over the years in prison, Leonard's health has deteriorated. He is now in constant pain. He has severe problems with his jaw, making it impossible for him even to chew food. Medical care is available that could help him, but the prison authorities torture him by refusing to allow him to get the necessary medical treatment that could fix his jaw and relieve his pain. Leonard has consistently been denied a parole and even a proper parole hearing. The feds have not bothered to follow their own rules with Leonard's case. As a result, his lawyers have this past year filed a habeas petition to try to force the government to at least give him a public parole hearing. Normally, petitions for presidential clemency are reviewed within about 6 months. Leonard has had a clemency petition before Clinton for 6 years now, and no action has been taken. Rooms at the Justice Department are overflowing with petitions and letters supporting Leonard, but no action has been taken. Leonard is asking everyone here today, now, to take action and demand that Clinton grants clemency before he leaves office in January.
Yeah.
National Day of Mourning this year is dedicated to Leonard, and it's part of what is being called Leonard Peltier Freedom Month. Now, without a doubt, if Leonard were not in prison, he would be here with us today. And later on in this program, we have a message from Leonard to everyone here today. He has sent us a message directly. They try to silence him with their prison bars, but they cannot silence him. His voice is here today. Leonard is here with us today. Now, in response to Peltier Freedom Month in Washington, D.C., the FBI took the unprecedented step of running ads in many newspapers, spending more than $1 million on these ads. These ads are full of lies, and they're ads that condemn Leonard and oppose clemency for him. Leonard Peltier now embodies 5 centuries of indigenous resistance in the Americas, from the Inca to the Innu, from the Taino and Arawak and Carib who fought with fists and spears and teeth against the European invaders who slaughtered and enslaved them, to Geronimo, Crazy Horse, and Anamayakwash. We have been demanding freedom for Leonard at National Day of Mourning every year since his arrest in 1976. It's now 1999. Why is Leonard Peltier still in prison? Because the FBI will never admit that they are wrong. Because Clinton refuses to act on the clemency petition. Because the courts refuse to give to any justice. because the government wants him to serve as a warning to all of us that this is what could happen if we protest and dare to stand up for our Indian people. There are many young people here today who were not even born when Leonard was arrested in 1976. A whole generation has passed and come into being in that time. To the young people who are here today, we ask you now to lead the way, just as the youth of South Africa did when they demanded freedom for President Nelson Mandela. We need you, the youth, to find out more about Leonard's case and do everything you can to free him. In a message that Leonard sent to Mumia Abu-Jamal and his supporters recently, shortly after the governor of Pennsylvania had signed a death warrant for Mumia, Leonard wrote about how he sometimes feels down and hopeless after being in prison for so many years. But then, Leonard says, he remembers all of the people who love and support him. He remembers that he is a warrior for his people, and that to accept defeat is not a warrior's way. To accept defeat is not a warrior's way. I call on everyone here today to be warriors. Today, right here and now, will you commit to be a warrior? Will you be a warrior for Leonard? Will you do everything in your power to ensure... Will you do everything in your power to ensure that next year, Leonard Peltier will stand right here on this stage with us at National Day of Mourning? Free Leonard Peltier!
Can you tell me who that was?
The next speaker on the program is Clint Wixon. He was one of the, he goes way back as far as National Day of Mourning and United American Indians of New England. Yo-ho! Can you imagine, 30 years. I go back that far. 30 years we've been here teaching you, the American public, about a government of yours that you think is so great. What a joke. Great. Prisoners of war in your own country, political prisoners, native people, minority people. They say equal rights. You're equally rich, or you're on their side of the fence, or you're equal minority, or you're equal poor. That's your equal rights. We've been coming here for 30 years. We will come here for 30 more, or 330. I myself and the rest of us will be here as long as the word liberty and justice for all is more than just a matter of speech. It becomes a reality. Yo!
Yo!
It's Matoe again.
We want to ask if we have our compañeros who are going to be doing the blanket dance. The Leonard, can you come toward the stage area? If you're here, we need to see you because we can't see you in the sea of umbrellas right now. I want to introduce somebody else who has been coming here every year since 1970. Her name is Lo Negles, and she's Mashpee Wampanoag.
Lo Negles, Mashpee Wampanoag. I have a little cold. I just want you to know that we Indians, we got to stay together and also think of what had happened. Now, last year, what had happened on my job, I was wearing T-shirts with Indian motif, and we are still here. And my job says, no, you cannot wear that. This is my day of mourning. Why can't I wear what I want to wear as an Indian, as far as my Indian regalia? Oh, you can wear that on Friday, dress down day, casual day. I'm not a casual Indian. We're not casual Indians. So this is what I'm here for. Oh!
Our next speaker is going to offer a poem, and I'd like to introduce Millie Noble.
I'm an elder from the Ojibwe tribe, and it has been my pleasure
to be here on this set, on this plot, every year, except maybe 2 years since this historic event has been taking place. I look around me today, and I see very few of the people who are with me who stood on this same hill years ago. Unfortunately, some of the young people have gone to the spirit world. And sometimes as I get older, I think somehow I will not go. I will stay home and watch TV. But the spirit talks to me, tells me, I have to get up and go. I have to speak for the Indian community, for the Indian way of life, for as long as I draw the last breath. And I know it is here with some people that feel the same way I do. Now, a lot of talk has been done here today about the injustice, about the situations of our Indian country in America. So I won't go into that, other than to say, I would like to read a poem. And this poem does not take place here in Plymouth, but it takes place in Boston. Boston's where I've lived for the last 50 years. And since my advent into higher education, when I was 50, I had to read about the beginnings of early Boston. And nowhere has it ever said that there was a land here that the Indians lived on. No one ever mentioned in the historic book that I read that I had to read about the thing. So this is my poem. Ojibwe elder speaks of a time in the period of greatness when three tall mountainous hills stood overlooking Boston Harbor. Their surfaces were covered with gray and green rock, and white birch trees stood waiting for the people of the light to appear. They came, the weary travelers, from distance across the land. The spirit of my people came from the land of roses and from the fresh blue waters of Ontario. They brought with them sacred sweet grass, name bags, and pure maple syrup, and stood in a circle overlooking Boston Harbor. They stood in a circle on spiritual ground, taking part in the ritual ceremonies. Eagles flew down from the sky to their nest to the gray misty rocks of high, connecting and radiating their source of power down on the hills overlooking Boston Harbor. Then there came a time when strangers came to our shores and tore down the hills and filled in the boggy areas of the Back Bay and Mole. And while that was being done, the lawmakers of the land put a notice up, and the criers of that time rang out, hear ye, ye bounty hunters, $5 will be paid for Indian scalps on the site of the hills that once overlooked Boston Harbor. The hills have long since gone, the law is still on the land. On the books in the buildings of the Golden Dome. And despite the cold winds that came bringing change to our way of life, our spirits have prevailed. For the ritual our forefathers graced upon the hills overlooking Boston Harbor have been instilled in us. And now we stand in a circle on a varnished floor in a gym in the city and pray to the four directions, the Kitchimanitou, as our fathers did so long ago on the ground that is now Boston. And thank you very much for letting me say my name.
an awful lot of years, though.
Next speaker.
And his name is Juan Gonzalez, and he's a spokesperson for the Council of Maya Elders.
Rukushka, Rukushuleu, Rukushka Kich, Rukushya, Bitol, Sakol, Hakom, Hakalom. Sisters and brothers of all Indian nations, sisters and brothers of the Americas, all immigrants in our homeland, sisters and brothers of the four directions of the world, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to share with you here under the sky of the north, here in the sacred homeland of the Wampanoag. We bring you greetings from the land of the sacred food for humanity, Ishim, corn, from the land of cosmic series of pyramids, Teotihuacan, Chichen Itza, Tikal, and from the land of freedom fires, Kukushkumats, Moctezuma, Tecumuman, Wakatelutiu. This person that greets you is a spokesperson who brings you the voices of the Council of Maya Elders at Hihab, brings you the voices of hundreds of thousands of Maya widows and orphans, victims of the genocide of 1960-1996, unleashed by the Guatemalan army with the blessings of the Christians and the technical assistance of the United States government. And today, this cruel genocide continues against our Maya relatives in Chiapas. We hope that you are familiar with history. Since the Europeans and Christian invasion in 1519 of our ancestral homeland, from this first moment, the Mayas have struggled against this culture and gospel of slavery and death. And the doctrine of those invaders have continued throughout the years the cruel genocide to butcher the Maya nation, to exterminate our way of life and knowledge. So the present oppressors, descendants of the invaders, live with a guilt for these crimes and live in fear of our sacred prophecy that speaks of the time when the Maya nation will regain the ancestral rights to our homeland. And to quench their guilt and fear, these invaders try to stop the fulfillment of the Maya prophecy, putting in action their gospel of divide and conquer. The mestizo Mexican government stole a territory today known as Yucatan, Quintana Roo, Chiapas, and Tabasco. And the English stole a territory today known as Belize and Honduras. So this is the struggle. It's not about democracy. It's not about reform. It's not about treaties. It's about ancestral rights to our homeland. It's about our self-determination and sovereignty. It's about the fulfillment of the Maya prophecy in this present time. We are the 17th generation that has survived the 507 years of the ongoing genocide, ethnic cleansing of the tens of millions of Mayas. Today, we are 12 million Mayas in all the Maya territory, plus a couple million of Maya refugees in foreign countries. We are the generation that will fulfill the prophecy. We are the generation that will stop the genocide. We will stop the greed and its killing of Mother Earth. The voices of the elders, widows and orphans are here today to tell the people of the world in the Americas, we are thousands of Indian nations. We are 90 million of Indian people. This is our ancestral homeland. We are going to be here forever. The message of the elders is about the end of this world. The message of the widows and orphans is about the end of this world. This world of injustice, racist genocide, and greed. The voices of the elders are to heal people of delusions, evil delusions of manifest destiny. The elders, the widows and orphans are asking everyone to struggle together in these powerful times of fulfilling prophecies, to free our Mother Earth, to free all Indian nations, to free our common future, and to free Peltier. Maltiosh.
Thank
Our next speaker comes from New York. She's come from New York to speak to us. She's a Chicana activist who wants to speak about the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. This is a very important case that Leonard has asked us to know about and to support. Teresa Gutierrez.
Sisters and brothers, compañeras and compañeros, early this morning when the press was interviewing Munanam, they asked him a question about what he would tell people who were, especially of course non-Indians, who were celebrating Thanksgiving. And Munanam's response really impressed me. He said, well, you know, we're not anti-Thanksgiving. You know, our message is to people who are having a regular traditional Thanksgiving. And I thought that was so gracious. I thought those are the words of a true people's leader, not just of the Indian people, but of all people in this country, because his words were an attempt to win unity of all the people. And as we have heard from this program here today, it's not just about the issues of Indian people, but it's about the issues that affect us all. So I want to give you more information, just like the words of Munanam, to take home with you, especially those of us who are not Indian. And one of those words is to describe the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, because just like the case of Leonard Peltier, yes, and the case of the Puerto Rican political prisoners before this, it shows what a horrendously racist government this country is. And that this country that was built on slavery, that was built on the genocide of Native people, that was built by robbing half of Mexico from Mexico, is not a government that can represent us any longer. We have got to hit the streets. And on December the 11th, all of you will have the chance to go to Philadelphia to bring the case of Leonard Peltier to Philadelphia. When Mumia Abu-Jamal, earlier this month or last month, when he received an execution date, Leonard quickly sent a message to all the people saying that we had to do everything to free Mumia Abu-Jamal. And here is a brother whose health is just being destroyed, who has been in prison so long, and you can still hear his message of resistance even under those conditions. And he showed, like so many other people are saying, that this is a case that we have to win. We cannot allow the execution of Mumia Abu-Jamal, because if they execute Mumia, then they can execute anybody, because he is innocent and his only crime is that he stands against racism. So if they execute Mumia, then no trade unionists, no women's movement, nobody will be secure. And this is our message. I want to end with this one point. I got a chance to go to Vieques, Puerto Rico last weekend. And you all know that the determination and the tenacity of the Puerto Rican people and the support of millions of people around the world and in this country forced the U.S. government, forced the racist, sexist, homophobic U.S. government to free the Puerto Rican political prisoners. Today, those Puerto Rican prisoners are in their beloved homeland, free as they can be, despite the fact that they live in a colony. It was so depressing or so disgusting to see that the U.S. government has been so successful in colonizing Puerto Rico that today they celebrate Thanksgiving too. Imagine that, 2,000 miles away, and the colonization has been so forceful that they celebrate Thanksgiving, just like they do in Hawaii and Alaska. More Native people that have been colonized because of imperialism. But the determination of the Puerto Rican people shows us that we can win the freedom for Peltier, shows us that we can win the freedom for Mumia, because now the Puerto Rican people have occupied the island of Vieques and for 9 months they have prevented the bombing of the Navy and their wives. In this tiny island, they can stop the mighty Pentagon. Then here in this country, we owe it to the Puerto Rican people, just like we owe it to Leonard Peltier and Mumia Fujimal and all the people in prison who deserve for us to free them all, whose crime is only poverty, whose crime is that they're black or Latin for the most part. We owe it to them to do everything we can to fight for the unity that we need to stop this government from repressing us one more moment. Free Leonard Peltier, free Mumia, Vieques C, Navy No.
We have a statement that Leonard has sent for everyone who is here today at National Day of Mourning. It's going to be read by Dr. Burt Waters, who is from the Mass Commission of Indian Affairs and is a son at Wampanoag.
National Day of Mourning Statement. Greetings, brothers and sisters. The first thing I want to say today is thank you for coming out in support of indigenous peoples everywhere. I thank you for being the kind of human being that care enough to take action when your hearts cry out against the mistreatment of others. It makes me proud and restores my faith just knowing that there exist in this world individuals who are willing to sacrifice to ensure that justice applies to all people. I also want to thank all of you who helped to fund and who came out in support of Freedom Month in Washington, D.C. We have made much progress in our time there. So much progress that the FBI has launched a $1 million media smear against me. I urge you to continue to make the calls to the White House comment line and also write and call your senators and your congressperson. This needs to be a massive, collective, and continuous campaigns, so hear my voices, so they can hear your voices. This is what is going to take to set me free. I encourage you to work with my committee on this campaign. It is a great honor for me to be part of such a gathering as yours. As an indigenous person, I know what it means firsthand to be an unwelcome stranger on my own soil. I have been called many things by my oppressors, dirty Indian, murderer, thug, and so on. I am none of these. I am and have always been a person dedicated to human rights, sovereignty, and peaceful coexistence. I fought for and protected my people from the government that wanted them dead or assimilated. This is my only crime. So today, as you gather once again at this historic spot, let me remind you to encourage each other in this continuous struggle as you encourage me with your letters and love. Remember those who came before us. Remember the teachings handed down from generation to generation. Remember those who are imprisoned for daring to stand up and speak against injustice. Again, I thank you for allowing me to participate in this important historic event. I am with you today, despite the bars and the vast distance between us. And last of all, remember that Thanksgiving Day is every day in our traditions. In the spirit of Crazy Hearts, Leonard Gatilas Peltier.
Right now, we're going to do a blanket dance for the Peltier Defense Committee. For those of you who don't know, a blanket dance is how we raise money. We don't pass a hat, we have a shawl. The women will be coming around with the shawl, and we ask you to give as much as you can. The money will go directly to the Peltier Defense Committee, of that we assure you.
Yeah.
Mayfield wants to say a few words. The women are still going by you with the blanket. Please continue to make donations for the Peltier Defense Committee. Has Antonio come here? Do we have Antonio back? Is Antonio back? Did Antonio come to see his mother? Okay.
I just want to thank all the speakers today that have spoken to all you people out there. They were great speakers. They knew what they were saying. They knew the truth. They know what's going on here in America and other indigenous people across the world. This gathering here today is to help to free Leonard Peltier. So I ask everybody out there, in their own mind, in their own language, in their own religion, will have a moment of silence so that we can reach all the people across the country that are out today for Leonard Peltier. And now we'll have another moment of silence for Jamil. I guess he's in Pennsylvania or somewhere where they're having a demonstration coming up. So we'll give another moment of silence for Jamil so that his ancestors, his people, will be able to communicate with him through our moment of silence. Way. Well, everyone, thank you very much.
Sisters and brothers, we're going to march soon. And when we march, part of what we're doing today is we're taking back the streets of Plymouth, that we're making Plymouth liberated territory instead of pilgrim territory. And we're also going to be dedicating these plaques that have gone up. Now, these plaques are going up technically as a result of a settlement that our organization made with the town of Plymouth in 1998. And they're going up not just because of our organization or a few individuals. These plaques are going up because of the Plymouth 25, the people who were arrested in 1997 and the sacrifices they made. These plaques are going up because of every person standing here today and every person who has stood here on this hill since 1970. These plaques are going up because of people that who aren't able to be with us today, such as Wamsutta Frank James, who started Day of Mourning back in 1970, whose health is failing and who is not able to be with us. It's going up because of our elders, such as Shirley Mills. Now, you never see Shirley up on stage. She's sitting there laughing at me. You never see Shirley up on stage. Every year she's been involved with Day of Mourning and counseling us as an elder. These plaques are going up this year because of many people who have passed into the spirit world who've been part of Day of Mourning. I'm thinking of Melvin Coombs and Vernon Pocknett and so many others who've passed into the spirit world who've stood with us from time to time. The language on the plaque for National Day of Mourning, Sam Safiel earlier today blessed the ground where that plaque is going to be. The language is, since 1970, Native Americans have gathered at noon on Coles Hill in Plymouth to commemorate a National Day of Mourning on the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday. Many Native Americans do not celebrate the arrival of the pilgrims and other European settlers. To them, Thanksgiving Day is a reminder of the genocide of millions of their people, the theft of their lands, and the relentless assault on their culture. Participants in National Day of Mourning honor Native ancestors and the struggles of Native peoples to survive today. It is a day of remembrance and spiritual connection, as well as a protest of the racism and oppression which Native Americans continue to experience. Every tourist who comes to Plymouth will be able to see that plaque and to see that there's a National Day of Mourning and to see that we do not celebrate Thanksgiving. Now, there's been a lot of controversy this year over the use of that word genocide in the plaque. Within the last year, the Boston Globe and the Herald and all kinds of other people have come out and said, well, what happened to Native Americans was not genocide. Well, what the hell do you call it if you don't call it genocide? What part of genocide don't you understand? Isn't it genocide when they killed our people with smallpox-infected blankets? Isn't it genocide when they steal our land and starve us? Isn't it genocide when they massacre our people from whether it was in Mystic in Connecticut, whether it was interning them in Deer Island, whether it was Sand Creek or Wounded Knee or so many places we don't even know how to name anymore? Isn't it genocide when they put us on reservations? Isn't it genocide when they took tens of thousands of our children and took them from their families and put them in boarding schools and cut their hair? When our drinking water has uranium in it, when we have such high infant mortality rates, when our people are dying daily from diabetes and alcoholism. But no, they say that's not genocide. I think everyone here today knows exactly what it is. That's our answer to these people who say it wasn't genocide. This is our final speaker of this program, but I want to remind everyone, we want everyone to march. If you can't march, the march won't be that long. We have to go that way anyway, okay? But if you can't march, we'll be meeting again at the Social Memorial Hall. We'll have hot coffee there. You can sit down. You can have hot chocolate and tea. We'll have food. It'll be good. And there'll be a presentation, a very special presentation, down at the Social Hall by Danza Azteca Cuauhtémoc. And their leader, Pastel, has traveled all the way from Los Angeles to be with us here today, and they have very important words and things that they need to share with us today. So I want to introduce from Danza Azteca our friend and our good compañero, Raúl Ruiz.
This makes me feel like I'm walking in the land of giants. Our Northern American cousins. We're walking in the land of giants. We're walking in the land of giants with the statue. We're walking in the land of giants with Mumia. We're walking in the land of giants with Leonard Peltier. We're walking with the land of giants where the Plymouth 25. We're walking in the land of giants with the little ones who came today and are bearing the wind. We are walking amongst the land of giants with all of you who have sustained the weather, the rain, our Mother Earth, and everything that is here around us. We're walking amongst the land of giants. We give honor and respect to all of you who are here walking with us together. Stephen Biko, the martyr, fought against apartheid in South Africa, said, "The most lethal weapon of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. The most lethal weapon of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed." And today, we are liberating our minds and our cry for freedom. Today, we are breaking the chains that have us under the reins of the oppressors. Today, we are breaking the political myth of Thanksgiving. Today, we are standing up and calling for freedom. For freedom! For freedom! For freedom! Another liberator who spoke in a different way, with song and music, asked everyone in the world, "Won't you come and sing these songs of freedom?" Yeah. That's all we want, to sing these songs of freedom. We invite you today to sing the songs of freedom. To sing the songs of freedom. As our leader Marley once said, to sing your songs with your heart, your mind, your feet, your smiles, your determination as a free people. As a free people united. Today, we march in freedom. Today, we march and sing in freedom. And let the mountains hear that. Let the oceans smoothly wave with the tone of our hearts and our freedom. Another, someplace, somewhere, in a corner of this earth, deep down in the jungles of a place called Chiapas, they are calling for freedom. Somewhere where poverty is no longer poverty, where poverty is death, where poverty is a sentence in which little have hope to survive. And somewhere in this place called Chiapas, they have raised their hands towards freedom. They have raised their voice towards freedom in honor of all those ancestors, of all those peoples in the Americas, in honor of their right to survive, their right for autonomy, in honor of our history and the truth. And one man writes a letter from this place in Chiapas for Leonard Peltier. And I will read it to you. This is from the Zapatista Army for National Liberation. Ejército Zapatista de Liberación Nacional, October of 1999. From su comandante insurgente Marcos. Leonard, through the NCDM and Cecilia Rodriguez, we extend greetings from the men, women, children, and elders of the Zapatista Army of National Liberation. Cecilia has told us about the grave injustice the North American judicial system has committed against you. We understand that the powerful are punishing your spirit of rebellion and your strong fight for the rights of indigenous peoples in North America. Stupid as it is, the powerful believe that through humiliation and arrogance and isolation, it can break the dignity of those who give thoughts, feelings, life, guidance to the struggle for recognition and respect for the first inhabitants of the land over whom the vain United States has risen. The heroic resistance that you have maintained in prison, as well as the broad movement of solidarity that your case and your cause has motivated in the U.S. and the world, reveal their mistake. What the powerful fail to understand is not only Peltier's resistance, but also the entire world. And so they intend to mold the planet into the coffin the system represents, the wars, jails, and police officers. Probably, the powerful in North America think that in jailing and torturing Leonard Peltier, they are jailing and torturing one man. And also, they don't understand how a prisoner can continue to be free while in prison. And they don't understand how being in prison, he speaks with so many. And so many listen. And they don't understand how in trying to kill him, he has more life. And they don't understand how one man alone is able to resist so much, to represent so much, to be so large. Why? The powerful ask themselves, and the answer never reaches their ears. Because Leonard Peltier is a people, the Lakota, and it is impossible to keep a people in prison. Because Leonard Peltier speaks through the Lakota man and woman who are in themselves and in their nature the best of Mother Earth. Because the strength that this man and this people have does not come from modern weapons. Rather, it comes from their history, their roots, their dead. Because the Lakota know that no one is more alive than the dead. Because the Lakota and many other North American Indian people know that resistance without surrender not only defends their lives and their liberty, but also their history and the nature that gives them origin, home, and destiny. Because the racism that now governs can only imagine the other and the different in jail or in the trash can where two Lakota natives were found last month murdered in the community of Pine Ridge.
What is Leonard Peltier accused of? Leonard Peltier's most serious crime is that he seeks to rescue in the past and in his culture, in his roots, the history of his people, the Lakota. And for the powerful, this is a crime, because knowing oneself with history impedes from being tossed around by this absurd machine that is in the system. If Leonard Peltier is guilty, then we are all guilty, because we seek out history. On his shoulders we fight to have a place in the world, a place of dignity and respect, a place for ourselves exactly as we are, which is also very much as we were. If the Indian people of North America and Indian people of Mexico, as well as the indigenous people of the entire continent, know that we have our own place, what is left is that other colors that populate the entire world know it. And what is left is for the powerful to know it, so that they know it and learn the lesson so well they won't forget. Many more paths and bridges are needed that are walked from below. On these paths and bridges, you, Leonard Peltier, have a special place, the best, next to us who are like you. Salud, Leonard Peltier. Receive a hug from one who admires and respects you, and who hopes that one day you will call him brother. Vale. And hell to you, and I hope that injustice disappears with tomorrow, with yesterday as a weapon, and today as a road. From the mountains of the Mexican Southeast, Subcomandante Insurgente Marcos. Let's follow the voices. Let's follow the voices of our ancestors. Let's follow the voices of our warriors, children, women, and elders who are calling us today to mourn, to fight for our freedom, to liberate our minds. Let's listen to those voices as we march with our feet and sing those songs of freedom with our feet, as we dance upon our Mother Earth, as we walk and see the rain, which is on our side. The rain is on our side. Let's march in non-violence. Media. Don't misquote me. Non-violence. Let's walk in non-violence with dignity, our heads high, with respect for our history, with respect of all our people, of all the oppressed of the world, of all the humiliated and disgraced, of all those that have suffered poverty around the world, not only indigenous land, not only here in the Americas, but all the continents. For we are the people, the misplaced, the misfits. We are the people who demand our place. We are the people who demand the respect. And with our songs, and with our cry, and with our march, let's walk towards freedom!